Paulo, hi.
Russ.
Listen, something you should know. Rachel and I are... We're kind of a thing.
Thing?
Thing, yes, thing.
You have the sex?
No. No. Technically the sex is not being had, but that's See, but that's not the point. See, the point is that Rachel and I should be Rachel and I should be together. You know, and if you get in the
in bed.
No. No, not where I was going. If you get in the way of us becoming a thing, then I would be, well, very sad.
Oh.
So do you, ceviche?
See.
So you do know a little English.
Poquito.
Yeah. Do you know the word crap weasel?
No.
That's funny, because you are a huge crap weasel.
Welcome to The One About Friends, the podcast that'll be there for you if you're there for it too. We're back after a very, very long hiatus. We've returned, and this week we're here to review episode 7. It is The One with the Blackout. I am Dana.
I am Nicola.
How are you, sweetheart?
You know, our middle name.
Let's not start every show by saying we're tired.
We're so tired.
Yeah. This morning just went, I don't think I've ever been this exhausted, but it's just Holly's teething at the moment, but we're getting through it. But that's pretty much why there's been a long hiatus. We realise we haven't got the time. We've got to be parents. We're parenting as good as we can, to the best of our abilities, or at least we think so anyway. And we're both very tired, but we're here now. We're definitely going to be here. I've got a whole schedule mapped out for the rest of the year. The One About Friends is going to be coming to you every second week here on the Four Finger Discount Network. And this week, as I said, we're here to review The One with the Blackout. Did you enjoy this one, Nicola?
I did. I thought it was pretty fun.
This one's considered to be one of the best episodes of all time in many lists.
Oh.
Would you put it up that high?
Oh, gosh.
Considering you've seen every episode?
I don't know. It's good fun, but I think, as we know, like the earliest season isn't probably just my favourite. It is, but this episode was pretty well written. Everything felt really natural. It didn't feel as forced. I think that we've said before, I think some of the one-liners from Chandler and stuff like that have felt a little bit written and scripted, like not very natural. But actually a lot of what happened in this episode I feel was quite natural, friends hanging out and natural sort of conversations that you might have during a blackout. So I thought it was pretty good.
That that cat scene seems very memorable. I thought that was like way down the track, but that one's always, that sticks out in my mind, that Ross with the cat scene.
It's hilarious.
I mean, it looks ridiculously fake. That doesn't matter. It's a sitcom. But yeah, I just, for some reason, when it happened, I went, oh, it's this one? This is like so early in the show. Cool. Mm. But I thought it was very relatable in different ways. Obviously, have you ever been in a blackout?
Yes. I used to live in the sticks, mate. So yeah.
Yeah,
used to have a storm once a year that used to knock the power for a couple of days.
Really? For a couple of days?
It's been a couple of days here and there. Not every time. Like sometimes it'd just be a few hours. But yeah, we've had like candlelit things, reading a book by a candlelight, and we had a wood fire. So we used to like wrap potatoes in tin foil and make a jacket potato on top of the fire. Like the stove, like it had, you know, a cast iron kind of shell, and so the hot top of it would be really hot. So we used to cook potatoes that way, yeah. I was literally lived in the sticks surrounded by fields, so.
Oh, cool. Yeah, have you ever had a blackout here? I can't recall.
Oh, not really a blackout. I think we've had like a daytime power cut for a couple of hours.
I feel like you and I have gone through one blackout and we didn't have any candles in the house. I was like, what do we do? And then
we did actually once, didn't we? Yeah.
And then we realised, our phones still work, so we can just use those.
Yeah, but then it was like, oh no, but what if our battery dies? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
First world problems. But I thought it was relatable in the sense that Ross clearly likes Rachel, but he's too scared to... He's not. Would you say he's too scared to talk to her at this point, or he's just
100%?
He thinks he's just playing it cool when really he should just be making moves.
Nah, he just hasn't got the courage yet. Like he needs to make that next move, and he just hasn't had the courage to do it. And he might be justifying it, saying that he's playing it cool and taking his time, waiting for the right moment. But come on, he's scared.
Yeah, I mean,
he's nervous.
I've been there. The thing is, though, when you
asked me out,
but when I met you, I wasn't scared at all.
I not pretty scary? You tell me the story of how I was pretty mean.
No, you weren't mean. You were just, oh, yeah, whatever, mate. Whatever you reckon, buddy.
And then, I was playing it cool, you see.
Were you really? I remember what did I say? I'm the nicest guy you ever meet or whatever, something like that.
And I was like, psh.
you didn't believe that
take
I was
take a hike, pal.
You didn't believe I was on the radio. And you're like, yeah, yeah, cool, whatever, mate, whatever. You give me your number and I'll message you, maybe, what kind of attitude. And like by the time I got to the taxi rink, I'd already had a text from you.
Yeah, I think I was pretty wasted.
Yeah, you were very, very wasted. I actually don't remember too much about that night besides just seeing you for the first time.
And me asking for proof that you had a tattoo on your bum. I was pretty sure I like wanted to see it in real life.
Dropped my pants.
I think I just get cheeky when I'm drunk. So that's all.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't my cheeks, was it?
It was not your cheeks. No, not at all.
I do not have a tattoo on my bum for anyone following along.
Don't you? You got a birthmark on your bum.
Oh, thanks. Fucking hell. Share that with the world.
So this one here, I thought, I've got my notes here. It felt kind of Seinfeld-y, this episode, in the sense that they didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether Friends does that all that often, where they just sort of stay in the apartment.
Well, once in a while, there's a couple of memorable episodes that do that once in a while. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of sitcoms that do that. Like Seinfeld did it all the time. That's the Chinese restaurant. You've seen the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
So that's one of my favorites. I just love how they managed to make 22 minutes so entertaining standing, waiting in line in a Chinese restaurant. You got the subway, you got the parking garage, you've seen that one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Just looking for the car.
Yeah.
I just thought it had elements of Seinfeld in there. Obviously, the humor is different, but there were still points where they were just having conversations that just felt like everyday conversation.
Yeah, it felt like I say, a lot more natural and a lot less scripted. I mean, obviously, it was...
I think that's probably just maybe because Chandler was out of the main story.
Possibly, but even his stuff was quite
yeah,
funny,
when he was on the screen, that's fine, but usually when he's in there, he's always the one chiming in with the cliche sitcom banter.
Yeah.
Him out of the equation. I was like, I don't Would the show have been better without Chandler? No, that's not that's wouldn't have been better without him. But I don't know.
It's a different dynamic.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
and he changes too throughout the season, so you know you sort of see the growth.
Yeah. Did you know this was actually part of an event? I might explain this to you.
Well, you did mention that just personally the other day, but no, I didn't know that before you told me. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a blackout event. So all three shows that were set in New York, we had Mad About You, Friends, and a new show that only went for one season, Mad Men to the People. So the episodes of Mad About You, it was Pandora's Box. So that aired originally on NBC before Friends, and then Friends aired, and then Mad Men to the People aired afterwards, all have blackout stories. So in Mad About You, a character called Jamie creates a blackout, which is what caused the blackout in Friends and in Mad Men to the People. Yeah, so I just thought it was kind of cool that they just did that. And Seinfeld was part of the big night as well, although Seinfeld just went, we're not doing a blackout episode.
Oh, fair enough.
But yeah, I just thought that was very interesting. Kind of, I like it when they do different stuff like that, where it's like, we'll try and incorporate them, because they've got a link to Mad About You, because Phoebe.
They do, yes.
She plays Ursula.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, Phoebe doesn't play Ursula.
No, Lisa Kudrow plays Ursula. And they're like, how can we incorporate her into this show? I thought, because I was listening to that book, the audio book, that's where I got told about the blackout. Mm. I went, that's really interesting that they thought, we've got a character on this show, an actress on this show, let's incorporate her playing a different role. Mm. I just really like, because I never, Ursula's the evil sister, right?
Yeah, evil twin sister. I've never really watched Mad About You either, so no, I didn't
it was
really
huge. It was one of the biggest shows in television. Yeah. It stars Helen Hunt.
And I've seen some of it, like a couple of episodes here and there, but I never really followed it.
Yeah. All right, what were your favourite moments from the episode, Nicola?
Look, I think all of it was pretty fun. I mean, I did enjoy Chandler in the ATM vestibule, you know, and I think...
Perfection.
No, well, my favourite line was, would you like some gum? Is it sugarless? Then no, I don't want it. I thought that was hilarious. I just thought, what a weird thing to say. So I thought that was really good. Otherwise, obviously, the sex conversation, where's the weirdest place you've had sex? And Rachel, I hear a child crying?
We can hear a daughter crying. Holly's teasing, as we said.
Is it our child, though?
Oh, who cares? Continue.
Yeah.
Talking about sex.
The foot of the bed and step back. We have a winner. You know, I thought it was pretty fun. So.
Compared to us, so that is pretty out there, isn't it?
What, the foot of the bed? Yeah. Absolutely, babe.
I really enjoyed Joey going, it's never going to happen. just
Ross
shit on
like,
Ross.
Why? Yeah. What? How do you know? You know, he's like, he's kind of
trying to justify it. But I thought Joey was also a good friend in this.
Yeah,
it was helping Ross and backing him up and giving him advice and things like that, because he's the ladies' man. Also, this is my favorite part in the whole episode. The lights go out. Whoa,
I have the definitive one.
I was like, that is very... No, not even the Ross bit, but just the Joey just doing it originally just made me crack up. Mm. I thought it was really, really good.
Five correct questions wins the game. The lightning round begins now.
All right, it is time now for some trivia. Nicola, of the one with the blackout, you hit me first with your question.
Okay, what did the girls nickname the cat when it first appeared?
Oh, when it first appeared, it was...
But they didn't know its name and they were like, called it something.
Putty something?
Close? Tootie.
Tootie Wootie? Tootie?
I think just Tootie.
Or just Tootie. Okay.
I think so. I don't know. I wrote Tootie, so maybe I'm wrong. But that's all I wrote.
My first question is, I don't know. You didn't answer this before. What's the weirdest place, or where's the weirdest place that Ross has had sex?
Oh, that was behind the people on the Small World After All ride at Disneyland.
Which people? Which country?
Dutch.
Dutch, correct. Yeah. Yes. And what year? Can you remember?
1986.
1989.
Ooh.
Technicality, he says Disneyland, right?
Mm.
At Disney World in Florida. Disneyland is in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Your next question?
Okay. Who are the neighbors that hate all living things?
I did write that down in my notes too. It's Mal something? M-E-L something?
Close. Keep what going.
Melmans.
Yeah. Melman, interestingly, is the character, though, on Madagascar that David Schwimmer voices.
Melman's so, the name of the...
The character in Madagascar. Yeah, isn't he the giraffe?
Giraffe. Is that Melman,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, yeah, oh, and that's okay. Who Ross, you know, David Schwimmer voices.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, there you go. Hates all living things.
Funny. Yeah.
My next question is, what bit Chandler at the zoo? To mention Chandler getting bit at the zoo, and Phoebe says, I was the last to know.
Oh, gosh.
And Chandler was bitten by something at the zoo.
Oh, my God.
A very pretty bird. Pretty tails.
Peacock?
Peacock,
yes. Yeah, that's ringing true now. I'm saying it out loud. Yeah, peacock at the zoo. Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
All right. What
very
else you got?
Good question, babe. Mm. Okay, what number
I will be having sex on the foot of the bed tonight.
What number is on Mr. Heckle's door?
Oh, that's a good question. I have no idea. I'm going to say 6A.
No, there's only one number.
I thought I saw a 6 somewhere.
No, well, it wasn't. Number 8.
Number 8. Okay. Sure. Maybe the Melmans were 6.
Possibly because, yeah. You know.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, they were after.
Before I ask you this final question for trivia, I think you better go tend to our daughter. We'll be right back, guys.
I'm back, baby.
Nicola is back. All right, final question of trivia for the one with the blackout is I've got Joey's here. What is Chandler's account number?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask this. I didn't write it down.
Why didn't you write
it down?
I know.
It's like 7-1,
mm-hmm.
4-3,
mm-hmm.
7 and a 1 again in there somewhere.
No. It's a number you've already said, though, the next one.
7-1-4-3, 4,
yep.
6.
No, less than that. It's 5-7.
Okay. Because you know why I actually mm-hmm. thought about the number? You know when there's an episode far later on where they do Joey's pin?
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, yeah. And the reason is when we get there, when you text on an old phone, then the number spells out something. And I thought to myself, oh, I wonder if they've done it with Chandler's, you know, thing.
Is it boobies or something?
No, but like, no, it's not because it's a 4-digit pin. And how many, I mean, boobies is a very long word.
Could be so boob.
Yeah. Boob. It is not.
It's 7-1-4-3-4-5-7. All right, guys, that is trivia for the one with the blackout. We'll be right back after this short break with our review of the episode. If you're a fan of everything we do here at The One About Friends, you can support the show on Patreon, where not only will you get early ad-free access to the show, but you also get access to hours of bonus podcasts, access to our exclusive Facebook community, and so much more. So join The One About Friends family today at patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. Link is in the description of this podcast. The original air date of The One with the Blackout was November 3rd, 1994. It was written by Jeff Ashtroff and Mike Sikowitz and directed by James Burrows. The episode kicks off with a cold open. It's Phoebe singing at Central Perk for the very first time in the series. We never see her singing at Central Perk.
Oh, I didn't realise.
Yep. But as she's about to sing, lights go out. But the song was going to be that moment when you suddenly realise what life is really all about. Chandler, at the same time, just as the lights go out in Central Perk, realises that he's been locked in a, what do they call it?
An ATM, vestibule.
Vestibule, yes.
He did question, what was the other name? An atrium or
atrium,
something?
Yeah,
he
that's
did
atrium.
Question, yeah.
Yep, a vestibule with a beautiful woman who we find out is... yes, I like that as well. So, actually, by the way, listeners, have translations for Paolo. Is it Paolo? Paolo? How do you say his name? Paolo?
Who?
Paolo?
Oh, Paolo.
Paolo, sorry.
Yeah. Are you right?
I don't know. I'm not. Paolo.
Paolo. Paolo.
Paolo. I've got ulcers on my tongue, sweetheart. I'm doing my best here. Soz. Paolo. How do you say it?
Paolo.
Paolo.
Yeah.
Paolo. Okay. Paolo.
Oh, my God.
Your translations for him.
I'm actually shocked at how much I'm struggling to say this word. I'm questioning.
And I've got translations for what Joey says back to our Chandler there in that moment when they're on the phone together.
Oh, I'd be interested to hear because I had no idea what Joey said back. I thought that was the joke because nobody knew.
No, you know. And once I read it, I went, oh, of course it's that. Come back and rewatched it.
Yeah.
So Monica is on the phone with her mum. So everyone's at the apartment except for Joey at this point and Chandler obviously is locked in the what?
ATM vestibule.
She's on the phone to her mum. She says, mum has said to her, it's all of New York. And then she asks Monica what she's wearing in case she meets somebody. You know, who am I going to meet?
Eligible looters.
Eligible looters. You ever had a moment like that where you've gone, oh, this is before you met me, obviously. Oh, I might just put something on nice in case I meet someone there. Except a nightclub. Somewhere that's not, like, this is obviously somewhere. And the joke for here is that Rachel actually meets someone during the blackout.
Yeah, true.
But have you ever gone, oh, there could be somebody here that I might like. I might put on something nice.
No, but I think this thing, everywhere I went when I was single, I
everyone wants a piece of this, guys.
No, I just meant like, you know, okay, so put it this way. In motherhood, you will answer the door in your pajamas and you will go out to the supermarket in your, you know, PJ tracky pants and occasionally your slippers when you forget to put on shoes. And, you know, I think before that, when you're young, single, you're pre-20, everywhere, you know, everywhere is just like, yo, let's dress up, let's wear something nice, you know. I followed the fashion a little bit and stuff like that.
So I missed the fashionable Nicola.
You missed peak. No, I was sort of peak Nicola.
Oh, you're peak Nicola now.
Cheers, babe. But yeah, when we met, it was pretty peak, even for a few years. You know, we've
been
together.
You're better now than when I met you, honestly.
Better in which way, darling?
In every way.
Aha, good answer. But yeah, like now I just think that those things just lose their importance. But yeah, we just know that Monica's mum's a little bit of a... you know, is she ever going to get married and what is she wearing and a bit overbearing in that kind of the physical sense. So we do see other examples of that too. So I think that's where that comes from.
Phoebe then calls her grandma, but she doesn't know her own phone number because she doesn't call her own phone number. Then we see Chandler and he realizes that it's Jill Goodacre, who actually is married. I'm not sure if she still is, but she was married to Harry Connick Jr., the husband or who played the husband of Grace from Will and Grace.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The man who rode in on the pony.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name on the show? Oh, Will and Grace. You watched Will and Grace, didn't you?
Yeah, no, and I know who you mean too, but my brain doesn't go that far.
Anyway, so he speaks to Jill, and Jill confirms that it's a vestibule.
Vestibule. Oh, God, you.
I'm just trying to stir you up. A vestibule. And you know, if Jill says it's a vestibule, then it's a vestibule. Mm-hmm. And she refers to... did notes for a Seinfeld episode. She's on the phone to somebody. I'm assuming her mum or something.
Mum, I think, yeah.
It's her mum. And she mentions that she's with some guy.
Chandler's pretty stoked to be
then
that guy.
Then we get the creepy walking over to her. And I'm like, stop right now. Yeah. Joey then arrives with candles. It's not just a normal candle. It's a Jewish candle. So basically, apparently there's a mistake here. So... it's a menorah. Is that what they are? The type of candle they are.
I don't know. It's an eight. It's an eight pronged, like Hanukkah.
The one that he has though is the one that stood in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem.
Oh.
The branches of the one in the temple were straight and rose diagonally from the center branch.
Oh right, yeah.
While the branches are all, curved.
They're curved on this one. But isn't it supposed to still be representing the same eight knots?
Nah, because there's a Hanukkah one as well, and I think they mentioned here, Happy Hanukkah, everybody. Yeah. And that's a different candle. It's a different amount of
branches. I thought it was eight, like eight nights for eight nights of Hanukkah, like eight candles for that.
Apparently not. I don't know my Jewish history.
Me neither.
Apparently it's a mistake, but anyway.
Oh dear.
They refer to him as Rabbi Tribbiani. And then ugly naked guy lights some candles and we don't see what happens. you are notorious for burning yourself, aren't you?
Me, horrendously so. I'm the most clumsy person in any sense of the word. I will trip on nothing.
And sometimes I
will walk into doors, and really, for no reason.
There'll be one single solitary toy in the hallway, and you'll just track. You're like
I'll
Holly,
kick it. Yeah,
you're
I'll
like
find
Holly
a
with dog poo. She just goes in the backyard and just finds that one piece, and she has to stand in it.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Did you want to share the story?
Chandler then smiles at Jill. She smiles back, but then he continues to smile and he scares her. He says, what are you doing, you idiot? And then she says, do you want to call somebody? And who do you want to call? Can you remember? Three guys.
Every guy I went to high school with or something.
Yeah. So he then calls Monica.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
It's Chandler. Oh. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm trapped in an ATM machine. With Jill Goodacre.
What?
I'm trapped in an ATM vestibule with Jill Goodacre.
I have no idea what you just said.
Put Joey on the phone.
What's up, man?
I'm trapped in an ATM vestibule with Jill.
Oh my God,
He's trapped in an ATM vestibule with Jill Goodacre. Chandler, listen.
Yeah, like that thought never entered my mind.
So what Joey says here, do you want to have a crack at what he says? So Chandler's response to him is...
Yeah, like that thought never crossed my mind.
Like that thought never crossed my mind, entered my mind. What do you think he said?
Have you asked her for your phone number? Her phone number. Something like that.
See if you can tell what kind of underwear she wears.
Well, she's a Victoria's Secret model, so...
He goes, see if you can tell what kind of underwear she wears, okay? And that's what he says, yeah. So everyone discusses... Everyone's now discussing the strangest spot they've ever had sex.
Mm-hmm.
Monica is the pool table in senior year. That's my sister. And Joey is the women's room on the second floor of the public library. And they're confused, what was he doing in a library? Phoebe's just Milwaukee. And Ross was Disneyland, which was pretty out there, really.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's actually probably a jailable offence to have sex on a kid's ride.
And it's a small world after all. All the rides. And Rachel's just the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
Is she meant to be a boring person, or she meant to be? She was just in a boring marriage.
She wasn't. She didn't get married, darling. I think we've covered that.
Oh, sorry,
she
arrived as a yeah.
In a yeah, she basically went straight from sort of college, straight to Barry, and just didn't really do a lot of experimenting. It doesn't feel like, and seems like Barry is a boring lover.
Remember that time we did it at the top of the Eiffel Tower? That was pretty cool.
I think that was me, babe. But yeah, I mean, I did go to the top of the Eiffel Tower with you.
Yep.
You were gone for about 6 minutes?
Oh, about 30 seconds.
Yep.
Anyway, but yeah, so they're discussing the various... That's kind of their... Every episode they have a scene where it's like, hey, look, we're young people talking about raunchy stuff scene. We then get the transition. Now, did you notice here that they have do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like the guy singing during the transitional shot there? I never experienced that.
Oh, I didn't even notice, no.
So the guys who sing the theme song... It's kind of like they did it once in Seinfeld where they were playing boom, but they had like women go boom, 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 singing over the top.
Oh.
It really takes you out of it. It's odd. Yeah, did you not notice it?
No, I didn't.
When they were transitioning to later on in the show. But Rachel says she's talking with Ross here, and she's never had a relationship with that much passion where she would have sex with somebody on a theme park ride.
I've just never had a relationship with that kind of passion, you know, where you have to have somebody right there in the middle of a theme park.
Well, it was the only thing to do there that didn't have a line.
All right, well, see, I mean, Barry wouldn't even kiss me on a miniature golf course.
Come on.
No, he said we were holding up the people behind us.
And you didn't marry him because...
Barry wouldn't even kiss her on a mini golf course because he's holding people up. And I was just like, I get it. But like, no. Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah. Not mini golf. I mean, real golf. Yeah. I mean, don't stand there, passion on the tee, but.
Oh, I remember we went to the Holy Moly.
Oh, yes.
We went for like 10 minutes. I was like, oh, this is a bad setup.
I know, but then apparently we held up the people behind because I didn't realize it was a 6-go minimum. I'm on like pot 12. I know, too true. I'm like, yeah, fuck off.
What did he say?
I don't know. I think you're supposed to give up after 6 goes. I was like,
and Nicole like watched him and then read the notes. Oh, that's the rules.
Yep. So true, yeah. Well, no, I didn't realize until a couple of holes later that he was right, but I just got a bit of a hump with him first and was like, well, just watch this, motherfucker. I'm going to pop this.
Yeah. Ross says here that passion is way overrated. It eventually burns out and you're just left with trust, security, and in his case, a wife with lesbianism.
I did think of you there with the lovely, not the lesbianism bit, but the other bit about the trust.
I actually thought of you too when they said that, yeah.
We're a bit cute, aren't we?
A little bit. Do you trust me? Do you feel secure? Oh, gosh. Do you feel secure
when
I'm around?
I did until you asked me. I feel like now maybe I shouldn't.
Well, lucky I didn't do that prank on you when I left the, or when you leave the house and I'm like, she's not here anymore.
That's a horrible thing. I'm sorry, but that is a stupid thing to do in relationships.
Test how.
Yeah.
Make them think, question your the trust in you.
I know. And then it's like, how are you ever going to convince them it's not real? Like, I'm sorry, but that's stupid. Really, actually stupid. If you're in real relationships, don't do it.
What happened was we watched some pranks on like YouTube or TikTok or whatever it was where a guy or a girl would text their partner after they'd left saying, okay, he's gone or she's gone now, you can come in.
Mm.
And they'd do a chuck a U-bolt. It's funny, but like, I would never do it.
Nah, couldn't. Because some of these girls were like, yeah, I'm sitting here. Yeah, where is she, bitch?
Yeah,
you know,
like genuinely angry. Yeah, yeah. Ross sees big passion in Rachel's future, though. And she says, oh, you're so great, and rubs his head.
Yeah.
I thought the joke was going to be that he's been friend-zoned. I thought he was going to go, oh, that was kind of lame, because if someone goes, oh, you're great, and rubs your head, it's like, oh,
100% friend zone messages. Yeah, yeah. But he's not reading it, though. He's just, yeah.
But then he walks off cocky, never going to happen. Ross tries to deny, as you're saying, why not? And then she explains that Ross has waited too long. He's now the mayor of the friend zone. I did read somewhere that they think that this was the birth of the term friend zone. I find that very hard to believe. Surely someone used the term friend zone before this episode.
Well, the show is called Friends, so maybe they did coin the term.
But the word friends existed before the show existed.
I get it.
Joey says that now is the time to ask her out. Go out and do it right now. Do not waste any more time. And as Rachel enters, they're all shh. Why are we shushing? Because we're trying to hear something. And as she pretends that she can hear it, that's quite funny. Jill then offers Chandler some gum.
Do you like some gum?
Oh, is it sugarless?
Sorry, it's not.
Oh, then no thanks. What the hell was that? Mental note, if Jill Goodacre offers you gum, you take it. If she offers you mangled animal carcass, you take it.
I'm watching this going, this is probably exactly what I would have done when I was like 19. Like, I was just
nervous and just spitting shit. Yeah, just blah, 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 blah.
Phoebe is then writing a song. She actually plays a song in this episode. It's the only time she ever plays a song that she didn't write. It's the one they're playing
Top
when...
Top of the World.
Yeah, it's the only time she plays a song in the whole series that wasn't written by her.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But she's writing a song about the blackout.
New York City has no power and the milk is getting sour. But to me it is not scary, 'cause I stay away from dairy. La 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 la.
Ross then decides, that's it, I'm just going to go for it. And Joey offers his help. And he's like, you come out here, you're a dead man. I'm like, well, at least Joey's offering to help. But he wishes him good luck. And then says to Monica, you can't go outside. And he covers for Ross here. And what? Because why? Because of the reason. Which is, and he says that Ross is planning a surprise party for her. And Phoebe walks in and Monica thinks that Phoebe would know about it. And she doesn't. So then Phoebe cracks the shits because she thinks she's been left out. She's always the last to know. Mm. Especially, she was the last one to know that Monica had a crush on Joey when he moved in, which is apparently
the big reveal. Yeah.
Apparently seen in a later episode, like a flashback.
Yeah, we have
one.
A flashback for a later episode, yeah.
Yeah, and then turns out, no, second to last, because Joey didn't know either. Mm. It's one of those things, like when you find out that someone likes you, even if you have no interest in them, it's just like,
is it, babe?
Oh, no. It's just
who's liking you that's making you go,
you
Lydia, apparently.
You wouldn't know him.
We have a running standing joke about someone called Lydia.
I had a dream, everybody, about, a month ago that I know.
Longer than that, I reckon, yeah.
We're at a food court somewhere, and there was this bakery there. Nicola's like, oh, I want to get something from the bakery. I'm like, whatever. That's just what Nicola does, bakery.
Right. I love the pastries and the bread.
There's a guy behind the counter, and he was just like, Nicola. And you said his name. I was like, whatever. And you just walk behind the counter, and he spun you around like when people do like sexy dances, like, and then like bent you back like that, like laid you down. You know, do you know what's the move? You
know, yeah,
where,
I know.
Where you
I
sort
know
of lean saying. Back, pulls you back up, and then just takes you to the back room. And I was like, okay, well, that just happened. Nicola didn't even say goodbye or explain what's going on. About 3 minutes later, you come out, and your hair's all disheveled, and your shirt's like untucked. And I'm like, what happened? And you're just like, it's none of your business, babe. And I'm like, what just happened? And I woke up. So
this is a
sad.
Dream for those tuning in. Yeah. It's a dream.
Yeah, so I woke up so sad that day and I was just like, no, she didn't screw the bakery man. Surely not. So now we have a thing going where it's the bakery man. And for some reason, just one day I just said Lydia and now I just run with Lydia all the time. And if it's someone else that likes me, it's Lydia. Oh, who you been texting?
Yeah, Lydia. Who are you talking to on the phone, Lydia?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Talking about this trust and security that we have.
Yeah, yeah. So where were we up to? Ross has decided he's going to go out there. They're covering because and Phoebe's annoyed. Yeah. Now, apparently in the, I've got here, in the uncut DVD version of this episode, not sure if it appears on the Blu-ray either, Monica ends up confessing to Joey that she liked his arms when she first saw him, which leads to Joey flirting with Monica, using his arms to flirt, and Monica, who is now over the crush on him, just says, I'll shut up. I've never seen that scene.
No, I don't know if I have, because we've got with the Blu-ray, but I don't even think it's on there, is it?
Oh, really? Maybe it's a deleted scene on there or something as a special feature. I'm not too sure, but yeah, on the uncut DVD version, that's apparently a thing. Ross and Rachel are now on the balcony, and he has a general wondering mint. He wants to ask her a question, and he starts explaining his feelings, and he thinks Rachel's gushing over him, and it's the cat, and I was like, that is awkward.
Yeah.
And the cat jumps on him, and we see through the window. It's one of the most iconic scenes ever, yeah. I reckon. Yeah, it's crazy to think only 7 episodes in is one of the most iconic. Then we cut to them all helping Ross with his cuts, but meanwhile, Rachel and Phoebe are just more concerned about the cat and making sure that it's not scared and that it's safe and it's happy. And we cut back to Chandler, and he decides that gum would be perfection.
You know, on second thought, gum would be perfection. Gum would be perfection? Gum would be perfection. Could have said gum would be nice, could have said I'll have a stick, but no. For me, gum is perfection. I loathe myself.
If some guy said that to you when he offered him gum, would you just think he's the creepiest guy in the world if he said perfection?
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
I'd just laugh it off and be like, okay, we're not going to talk anymore.
Rachel and Phoebe are now looking for the owners. They're walking around with a candle. They go to knock on the Malmans, but no, they don't go in there because they hate all living things. Then they get to who's credited as weird guy, but his name's Mr. Heckles, yes. Obviously. He tries to claim that it is his cat named Bob Buttons. And I was like, what a creepy dude.
Yeah, so creepy. But he runs with that character.
Is that his gimmick, is it? Okay. Yeah. He's from Billy Madison. That's what I know him from. Yeah. He's Carl in Billy Madison. He's one of them. A good guy. He's one of Billy Madison's dad's best friends who looks after Billy. Anyway, so you are a very bad man, is what Phoebe describes him as. And you owe me a cat. Rachel then comes across, say his name.
Paolo.
And she brings him back to the apartment.
She just is holding him and touching him.
So this is what he says here when they first walk in. This is what he says, to them in Italian. Hi, guys. I just moved in and I live in the floor below this, so I guess we'll see quite a lot of each other, is what he says when they first walk in. And then she says, he doesn't speak a word of English or much English, but he says Monopoly. Yeah. And he says it the same way. Is it Funopoly or whatever? What's the joke? Funopoly.
Funopoly. That's what Joey says later in a different episode. Okay. Like when he's swearing in Italian. I don't really know what it means. We haven't done my research on that episode yet, but
but yeah, he knows Monopoly.
He goes Funopoly under his chin and just flicks his hand out.
Ross, so where did he come from suddenly into our lives? he's obviously jealous straight away. So they explain it was his cat, and that's how they found him. And it's funny, isn't it? He's like, that is funny. And Rachel keeps touching him. Phoebe returns. I'm the last to know again. But I'm thinking, Rachel, why didn't you go to find Phoebe? Just leave her on a fucking wild goose chase looking for the person. This is what he says to Phoebe in Italian. He says, Phoebe, you're gorgeous too. If you're all this beautiful, I'll just move right here. And she says, you betcha. So apparently that's kind of a response that she could say if she understood Italian, because later in a later episode she knows Italian or something.
Who, Phoebe?
Phoebe knows Italian.
Oh, yeah, she does. Yeah, technically. Yeah, I know.
But I think that's just not meant to be. The joke's meant to be she doesn't understand. She just says, you betcha. Chandler tries to blow a bubble because of its boyish charm. He ends up just spitting his gum across the room and puts it back in his mouth. I was like, even if it was your gum, that is not what you should be doing.
No, you need to leave that the heck alone.
Yeah, I never pick up gum off the floor.
It's obviously pre-COVID times, babe.
did you ever like stick your gum under the table at school?
Yes.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening, no.
And you felt someone else's gum as you were doing it?
Yes.
Yeah, the worst. But he starts choking on his gum and she saves him. And that was what?
Perfection.
So they've sort of like broken the ice now. Paolo is talking at the window with Rachel and he's saying to her, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at everything that is beautiful. This is one of my favorites, Ross imitating him.
Guarda le stelle, guarda tutte le cose belle.
She doesn't know what he said. But it's so un-her, you know, she never usually goes out in a limb like this and just flirts with somebody like this. Yeah. And she's been in such a dull, passionless, is that a word? Passionless?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go with it. Our relationship before this, and Phoebe just wants to bite his bottom lip. You bite my bottom lip sometimes.
God, you're spilling all of our secrets today.
And Rachel is just very excited. She's not used to this feeling at all. And I think Monica says something along the lines of, well, if you don't want to do it, I will. And then Ross, he's seen enough, so he goes over to tell Paolo that he and Rachel are a thing. They're kind of a thing. You have the sex. Oh, no. No sex just yet. But if you were to get in the way of them being a thing, he would be very, very sad. And he...
rub his eyes.
Yes. At this point here, it seems that Paolo gets the idea, but he still does it anyway. I mean, if I was in Paolo's position, it's kind of like, this beautiful woman wants you, I guess he's still going to, even if...
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to pay any attention to Ross because he's going to feed off all of Rachel's cues. And if Rachel is just swooning over him, he's in.
Yes. You know. What a crap weasel.
He is a bit of a crap weasel. We do learn later he's a lot of a crap weasel.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Chandler and Jill, they've been whipping pens for an hour. So it's almost like he's brought her down to his level, which is nice. Yeah. What I like is when those moments where you feel like the person you're talking to, you think they're too cool for school.
Mm.
But then after they have a discussion with you, they're just like, oh, they can just be dorks
you're
as well.
You're human too, you're normal, yeah. Down to earth, yeah, absolutely.
It's okay to just be yourself, and they're throwing the pens around each other.
And also it's not that hard, Chandler, to just knock the pen around your head.
But it seems that she's starting to almost like him, and the last candle burns out in the apartment at the same time. I just love Joey's laugh. This is so funny. And as the lights come on, because Ross says he's got the definitive one, the lights come on, and Rachel is kissing Paolo. And then Joey says to Ross, probably not the best time, but you have to throw a party for like that. So, it ends with the during the credits, Chandler and Jill, they're getting out of the ATM
vestibule.
And he thanks her for letting him use her phone and saving his life. And she gives him a kiss goodbye. And she says she had a great blackout. And Chandler just stares lovingly through the window and has a discussion with the security camera saying that he wants a copy of the tape. So it was a very funny episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah. Really, funny, natural, easy to watch. Yeah.
Progress the Ross and Rachel storyline. It's clearly the main storyline. But at this point, every character seems, even Phoebe's just more, she's very Phoebe now. Monica seems like, I always thought she was like the main female, but who would you say is the main female of the show? I know they try to make it all equal, but
they really do.
Ross and Rachel are the main ones, right?
Well, they are in terms of the love story. In terms of female, I'd say Rachel and Monica are equally quite strong. Not that Phoebe's not up there too, but out of the females, I'd say they're definitely the strongest with the strongest storylines. Like Phoebe's storylines, I think, are like sort of funny spin-offs of, you know, she's dating this person or this thing happened at work or blah, blah, blah.
B-plot. Oh, but when she dates Paul Rudd, that becomes a main story, right?
I mean, it does, for sure, because it's, love interest. But, even Paul Rudd isn't in all the episodes, and it's just, it's good fun.
Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, they get mail and stuff.
All right, we've got some mailbag questions before we leave you guys this week. This one, you can send your questions to friendsmailbag@gmail.com. If you do have some questions, send them in, or just a message to let us know that you enjoy the show, friendsmailbag@gmail.com. We opened it up, and this one here is from Melissa Hodgson. She says, hi, guys. I found the show a little while ago, and I need more. Where is it? Oh, sorry. Here it is. Anyway, I've been wanting to ask Nicola which of the main three guys she would marry if she was in the Friends universe, and vice versa for you, Brendan, when it comes to the girls.
Ooh.
Oh, you're very much like Monica, so I think I'll just be gravitating towards a Monica because she just would look after me.
Well, 100%. I think out of all the characters, that's who I probably identify with in terms of personality traits. But I'm not really attracted to the Chandler, though. I mean, Chandler's funny, but definitely not as a person, attractive-wise. So it's
don't look at the
Matthew Perry.
Let's go by just them as a person.
Personality? Yeah. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Oh, that's a tough one. I think I want a piece of all of them.
Oh, my. I knew I married you for a reason.
Okay, all right. So Joey's kind of spunky.
That's the soundbite I'm keeping.
Joey's spunky. He's, he's good fun, but hasn't got the true values, relationship values. Chandler learns the relationship values. He grows through the episodes. We see him commit. Ross has the relationship values, but also is, too much. He's possessive and obsessive and jealous and insecure. So you need a little bit of all of them. You need the, I need a you, babe. It's Brendan all the way.
It's me all the way, is it? You want a piece of me?
Yeah, mostly.
All right.
Sorry, that was a terrible answer, but,
No, it's fine. And next one here, this one's from Willow. Just says Willow. Hello, Dandos. Quick question. There's always questions for Nicola. Quick question for Nicola.
Because I'm the best.
Yeah, it's because you've seen all the episodes. Which storyline / episode would be your least favorite? Let's go with storyline. Would be your least favorite.
Big question. Least favorite storyline. Okay.
Is there a relationship that you hate? Or a character they bring in that's just annoying?
Well, I mean, I think some of the, I'm just trying to think.
It's hard when it's your favourite show and you're asked to talk about the bit you like the least.
I know, and I'm just, there's a few sort of flashing relationships sort of come to mind that, but, they've all got their funny, in terms of the show, they've got their moments
it's
funny.
Not necessarily one you don't like, it's least favourite.
Yeah.
So.
I think one of the silly storylines is when Monica went for this is a future episode, but went for an interview to be a chef at a place, and the guy was really weird and creepy and was like, oh, is the lettuce dirty? And, she's like, well, I'm going to wash it. And she's like, okay, so what are you going to do with the tomatoes? And she's like, I'm going to do them julienne. And he's like, oh. But I'm just like, that's silly because, when would he ever keep anybody in the room?
Yeah.
Everybody would walk out and no, he would not get a chef. So I just think, okay, it was a bit of fun and he was creepy and it was the worst job interview ever and rah, rah, rah. But, it's a bit silly because no, he wouldn't ever get a chef if he did that to all the women that, arrived. Sorry, you shouldn't say women, but all the people that arrived to do the chef role. So, That's a bit daft, yeah.
Alrighty. All right, guys, that is the end of the mailbag for the one with the blackout.
Actually, before we finish up, I've got a question for the room. How do the phones work if the power's out? Because, like, our phones, not our mobile phones.
It's 1994.
Yeah.
I know when it was landlines, the phone companies tended to have backups, which would sometimes, because landline phones didn't take up much power, so sometimes they would work. So if you want,
because I'm thinking, like, you know, and imagining, like, even a handset thing. You know how they pick the retriever up and put it down, the one with the machine and all that. It is powered by electric.
It does, yeah. It doesn't really make sense when you think about it. Yeah,
but it has to make sense for
the story to work.
For the story to work.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
I'm rolling with it then.
Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. If you've got a message or question for us, we'd love to hear from each and every one of you. Please continue to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way for new listeners to discover the show. We're looking for their friends, friends Phil. Nicola, thank you for joining me here today. It's been a pleasure to finally have you back in the studio. It's been a long time. Always nice to have a really attractive woman across the table from me here.
As opposed to Guy Davis.
Or Lydia.
Yeah, or Lydia. Fucking Lydia. Need to find that person and
that
smash
person.
It.
Oh, I'm glad that you
I was
going to
say B word, but you know.
We're working on our language, toned down the language. What did I say? That's bulldust, I said yesterday.
Yeah, he did the other day. I was like, did you just say bulldust?
I worked in a factory, so swearing just comes natural to me now. It's just a second nature. But
yeah, however,
it.
It's been like 10 years since you worked there, so
it's been, what, six?
Yeah, long enough for you not to have the factory instinct, but
yes,
whatever.
Yes, I know. All right, guys, this has been our review of the one with the blackout. The next one is, I believe, the one where Nana dies twice.
Yeah, this is a good one too.
Okay. I think every episode you're going to enjoy. It's your favourite show.
Yeah, I know.
If you do enjoy the show, please, as I said, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. If you listen to us on Spotify, give us 5 stars as well. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com is the best way to get in contact with us. Nicola. Ta-ta. Have a great day.
Farewell.
Ta-ta and farewell. I'm off to record a review of our Simpsons podcast right now, but this has been our review of the one with the blackout. Catch you later, guys.
Bye.